terms such as channeling. And I'm glad I saw that too and read it earlier, because I was going to use that term. That's what I thought of. But today they're going to teach us something that's a little bit different than that. But Pia and Colin state that the information they share comes from an energetic merging of their hearts and minds to the hearts and minds of other light beings who wish to help humanity evolve. It takes a combined presence of both of their energies to bring forth the wisdom of Larkma. As they join hands, the voice of Larkma begins to speak, sometimes through Colin, but most often through Pia, whose soft voice resonates with the musical Palladian. Say it right?
Yes.
Tones. There we go. I'm doing good. So, Colin's a visionary, a sensitive, and an energy healer, as well as an interstellar communicator. Colin has participated with non-ordinary states of reality under the guidance of Pan's Kingdom and Star Family since early childhood. Co-author of Conversations with Larkma and Remembering Who We Are, Colin began supporting the healing of others through assisting energy movement when he was as young as 4 years old. So today, we will be hearing from them about their books, Remembering Who We Are, in Conversations with Larkma. So if you could, give a big round of applause, a big house welcome for our author, Jay. Thank you, Colin. I let you take over.
Thank you, Jay.
We're happy to be here, and really delighted to see all of you. We have sort of an interesting story to share with you. We don't have a normal job.
We did at one time.
I used to be a clinical psychologist. Quite a switch to be telling your colleagues that you're now hearing voices.
My training is in forensic anthropology and archaeology, and we were both very involved in our careers for quite some time until Larkma introduced themselves to us.
Which happened almost immediately as soon as we met and joined our lives together. The minute we came together in our relationship,
unusual things began to happen. We experienced things that, occurrences that many people would say are otherworldly. The term poltergeist has been a term used for centuries.
I kind of like the term, just plain weird.
We noticed directly after we met and started a life together that there would be weird lights in the house. footsteps down halls or into rooms that we knew there were no people sharing the house with us.
Water faucets being turned on.
The kitchen faucet would turn itself on. The shower would turn itself on. And we just realized that something was up. We didn't know quite what at that early stage.
And then one day, when we were celebrating Colin's birthday, something else turned itself on.
We were living high in the Colorado Rockies. We were living at about 9,000 feet in a canyon. We had no cell phone reception. We had sketchy landline reception, no television, no normal radio. But we did maintain a really cool shortwave radio, this great big thing that could pull in stuff from all over the world.
Well, I think it pulled in something a little further than all over the world. The radio turned itself on, and we looked at each other, and I happened to notice the time on the clock, and I said, "Look, Colin, it's exactly your birth time." So we wandered in and turned the radio off, couldn't figure out why it came on, kind of shrugged it off as another strange and unusual thing.
And we went back and enjoyed the rest of my birthday dinner. And the next night, at exactly the same time, the shortwave radio turned itself on again.
So we thought, must be something weird here going on. We took the radio and plugged it into a different place in the house. We thought, maybe it's a faulty outlet. Until the next night, when it turned itself on exactly at the same time again.
So for about a week, I would say,
yes.
The radio continued to turn itself on. And I have to say, I think we began to look at each other and think, are you tricking me? Are you doing this? And I just am not aware of you doing this.
We took the radio and unplugged it completely from the wall, and it still turned itself on. And at that point, we decided, okay, we need to pay closer attention. So we positioned ourselves the next evening in front of the radio, and we waited. And when it turned itself on, as we expected, exactly at the time of Colin's birth, we said, who are you? What do you want?
How can we help you? And we simultaneously began to get not auditory, but what we would call mind thoughts. We would get information about binary numbers, quantum physics, future medicine that doesn't exist yet.
Light travel. All kinds of things were coming in. But the interesting thing was, I would say, Colin, I just got, we are here to help. We are one of six and six of one. What does that mean? And he would say, that's very strange. I just got the same thing.
Verbatim.
The word
same
for word.
Words.
So we realized quite quickly that we were both receiving the same information. So we tried to take notes of all this fantastic information they were sharing with us, and we could not keep up with it. It took us about a week of trying to do that before our brains kicked in and we decided to record the sessions.
So this was about a decade ago that this began. And after having them contact us every day at the same time, we were still working in our respective jobs, and we would make our schedules match being home by my birth time, which was in the late afternoon, early evening, and they would begin to talk exactly at the same time.
So we scheduled our lives around this until we had to go to a medical conference. And we were deeply chagrined that we were going to the medical conference. We were going to miss this conversation.
We didn't take the radio with us.
We didn't take the radio with us. So we checked into our hotel at the medical conference, and it was about the time of his birth when we checked in.
Guess what happened?
The television
turned itself on. And we started speaking with them, and they said, we want to let you know that you don't have to stay at home. You don't have to be connected to the shortwave radio. This will happen anywhere you are, any place on Earth.
We don't need your technology to get your attention any longer.
So they thought it was kind of a joke to use the hotel television set.
So we built a life around this. We were still doing our standard careers. Colin was consulting. His job was to figure out what things go wrong and then help solve it. And my job was sort of the same thing, only in the field of psychology. Well, they ask us, our Pleiadian friends ask us, would you be willing to share our wisdom with other people? Would you be willing to start doing gatherings? And we had to think about that. And we said, sure. Didn't take us long to think about it. And then they said, and by the way, we want you to write a book. And we went, what? And they said they wanted us to write a book. So we took all of the recordings for the first
couple of years,
and compiled them into this wonderful book, Conversations with Flortner, which we take no credit for writing because all we did was edit their comments, put them into categories where people could have sort of chapters to follow and it made sense. But
well,
they wrote the book.
We take a little bit of credit. We edited it three times. Each time we thought we were finished, we realized that maybe it didn't make complete sense because they don't speak in the way we do, as we're speaking now to you. They speak directly heart to heart in their evolutionary status. And so when they speak through us, sometimes the words don't make exactly.
Sometimes they'll leave out a word, an A or a V
or
an article.
Or the context of the words aren't exactly in the order that we would receive them.
Yeah, they might switch it a little bit. So we cleaned it up a little bit, but I still say we take no credit for writing it, just for the editing.
Yeah.
So we did that book, and we put it out and had a great response, and we started traveling to Europe and South America and
Russia,
other places. Russia has a fantastic interest in this work. We were greeted by scientists and medical doctors and physicists and all kinds of people saying, tell us more. They're really, really interested. So we came back from that trip, and Lartner said, time for another book. And we said, okay, you dictate this one. We don't want to organize it. So they dictated this book, Remembering Who We Are, which is all about healing everything that's out of balance in the human condition. So we have two different pieces of information coming through these books. We happily have changed our lives to share Larkmus wisdom with anybody who's interested, because we feel that what they offer us is such a profound opportunity for evolutionary growth, huge leaps in consciousness.
They're interested in basically one thing. They're interested in the concept of unity. They want humanity to understand that our true job here on Earth is really to get along. And so all of their messages pretty much are focused on unity, community, and love, or maybe love, unity, and community. And so their message is basic. They know that in our evolutionary process, we have made some mistakes. We have not learned possibly as quickly as we could have. And so their focus, and it's not just our friends, these loving beings, there are beings from all universes, all galaxies, doing the same thing here on Earth. There are many people speaking. Pia and I are not unique in what we do.
We're unique in how we do it. Larkma doesn't like to call this channeling, because they perceive channeling as a one-way stream of information where a group of beings, interstellar or otherwise, come through a particular person and they speak. Larkma doesn't want channeled information. They want dialogue, conversation. They want to hear from you as well as talking to you, because they said one way that they can help humanity the best is by better understanding us. What do we need? What are we curious about? What do we want to know? That helps them broaden how they can help us.
They're as interested in learning from us as we are from learning from them. They're not in human bodies. They don't know how to do things that we can do here on Earth. And so they learn from us about how we work within our societies. They're very loving, and they can also be very serious, but the concept of joking is not part of their evolutionary process.
We taught them how to exchange jokes, and just the process of trying to teach them how humans joke was really hysterical.
So I mean, I'm using this as a simple example, but they're as interested in understanding how we work, how we think, how we formulate our technology, which they call archaic. Mm-hmm. They're very good at saying that, although we call it modern scientific medicine, they say that we have so far to go in how we understand how we can help one another through technology and technological medicine. So they have joked with us a great deal about things like this.
The other thing that's different and unique about the way we bring forth truth from this larger perspective is that Cullen and I receive, as we already told you, the information simultaneously. We have to be touching.
We have to be touching.
Holding hands, touching, sitting next to each other in order for them to bring forth the information, because they're using the libraries from both of our brains, which are extremely opposite. Our hearts are aligned, but our brains are very, very different.
We stress this when we explain how we do what we do with them, because Pia and I share the same earthly concept, the same larger cosmic concept of love, peace, cooperation, harmony, compassion. We have an absolute connection in sharing that. But once we step away from that part of who we are,
our favorite thing to say to each other is, what the heck do you mean?
We are diametrically opposed. Our outer personalities are 180% different from one another. I work from a big picture. I work from outside, and I bring that information down into me.
And I work from a very internal perspective of perceiving things at an inner level and then expanding it outward to others. So that individual perspective that's so polar opposite gives us very different views of how we do things. And so in our work with bringing in LARCMA, our Pleiadian friends, there can be no human filterization on what comes in, because they're using both of our brains, and the information comes through simultaneously, so that anything I might think or feel or believe about it, or Cullen might think or feel or believe about it, is automatically canceled out by the oppositeness. So that's a bit different.
We believe they chose us because of that, so that we would cancel out any of our own opinions, any of our own belief systems, because they wanted the information that comes through us from them to be as pure as possible, to be directly from their hearts, without one of us going, well, I'd like to tweak this part, I don't really like the way this sounds, or I disagree with this fundamental piece of information. So all we do is bring the information without any kind of personal attachment to what's coming through.
There's a little aside, though, that we want to share with you that we think is kind of interesting. LARCMA tells us that they've been with us the entire time we've been in bodies here on this planet. And they tell us that they've been guiding us and helping us to get where we're going. And we've been cataloging, taking notes, and keeping track of just how many things are identical in our experience of growing up. Even though Cullen grew up on the West Coast and I grew up on the East Coast, there are even timing things about, well, this happened to me at exactly this year. Oh, me too, exactly at this year. Many, many similarities in our experience of something that we were apparently being conditioned on from different perspectives before we joined our lives together.
So we think they've actually been helping us and probably contacting us without our conscious awareness. We think they were probably involved in our development, things that we became interested in. I mean, there's some silly examples. Pia and I are both extremely fond of wild bears. We spend a great deal of time, when we can take the time off, in places where we can encounter bears. And when we tell people this, some people are horrified, some people are like, we don't believe the stories you tell, but we both grew up with bears on either coast when we were children.
Petting them, talking to them, you know. They were part of our experience. We're totally unafraid of bears, and we spend a lot of time with them.
And so we're wondering if that was some kind of connection that LARCMA set up for us, to be on different coasts doing different things, but having really similar experiences at the same time in our growing up.
So we don't want to spend the whole time talking about us. We want to introduce you to our friends and let you meet them. And we also want to give you the chance to ask questions to us, what things that you're interested in, things you may want to know that we can share with you. So let's have a conversation and a dialogue. What would you like to ask us? Okay, that's it. No questions.
Yes.
Kirk.
Well, I was just curious if you could perhaps offer some commentary. I've spent maybe 40 years trying to learn something about the word chakra, and I've come to believe there's an immense truth to it. And I was wondering if it might have some connection to your experience with what's happened.
I think that I would say save that question and ask LARCMA about the truth about chakras with humans. What I would say is Colin and I are both deeply aware of the energetic centers within the body, above the body, below the body. So there seem to be energetic something. I don't know. Can you help me out here?
Well, the chakra system, there's so many different ideas and schools about what the chakras are, what they mean, what they're capable of doing. And P and I see them as simply energy centers. LARCMA tells us, and they will probably talk about this later, LARCMA tells us that everything is energy. Everything in the entire universe is made up of energy. And because we humans are, depending on our size, our gender, our age, we're mostly made out of water. We are, I think we would probably say, 80% water. Even our bones are made out of water. And that makes us electromagnetic beings. And so the chakra system is involved in the water of our bodies and the electricity in our bodies and the energy that's created with how they work, how they spin. So the chakras are an amazingly important part of understanding who we are, how we're made up, and that we're connected energetically to everything. Welcome.
But do ask LARPA if you want more information. They'll happily tell you their perspective.
I don't want to be selfish because everybody else is here, but could I perhaps ask an auxiliary question to the one I already
sure.
asked? Because of what he said about water. And in Hebrew, I think there's a true mystery to that language, this relationship to Sanskrit. I think it's a profound mystery to it. The center mother letter in Hebrew is Mem, mm-hmm. which to me is interesting for two reasons, for many reasons. The word memory starts with Mem, and then the word Mem in Hebrew means water, and it's at the very essence of the linguistic mystery of Hebrew. And in Christianity, you have the baptism, so who's to say what the translation was from the original language? And then the word Kabbalah, most people say Kabbalah, but I had a rabbi teach me. He says, could you say Kabbalah? Mm-hmm. Three distinct harmonics. And he said that the word is vastly significant. It means receiver. So the thought I'm having as I'm enjoying the meet both of you so much is the word that's occurring to me is that you two were human receivers. Mm-hmm. Inadvertently so, or who knows how, but it occurred. I think that's incredible.
Well, you're giving me goosebumps because one of the chapters in the first book is completely dedicated to the understanding of water from Larkma's point of view, not common scientific understanding, but a much more universal understanding of water. So what you just said is absolutely quite important.
And I would also tell you that they work with sound. They don't speak like we do. They don't use words. They use heart tones, mathematical tones, that's how they communicate, and then they just pick the words from our brains to translate when they're giving. So it actually doesn't really even matter if you sleep through what they say, because the tones will affect you energetically. You're getting the information intellectually, listening to the words, and you also get it energetically through your heart. But in the understanding of tones, bringing you back to the M question, Mem, the M sound has to do with mother. And it has to do with Mother Earth, and it has to do with the heart sound of when we want to reach out and soothe and connect with others. Even if we get, you know, something yummy to eat, what do we say? So you're right, the tones and the sounds, they have other meanings than what we know. Yes.
Thank you.
You mentioned like even your bones are made up of water. Could you like go into a little bit more detail on like just like the how?
Well, that's like considering water as steam, the most vaporous form of water that's still water, water that we drink or we swim in, or ice, the frozen state. So our bones are the solidified blood of our bodies. They're more or less solidified. That's very literal. A scientist would probably disagree with me, but from Larkin's perspective, we are made up of the same water component as the sea. We are seawater. That makes up all of our cells, all of our blood, and it densifies down into our bones. And so therefore, when we recognize that we are more fluid than we think we are, we can become much more flexible and we can heal ourselves. Broken bones can be mended because we learn a new concept that they're not static, they're not stuck. There's something that's, oh, this broke. Let me see if I can just move it a little bit by using sound and my own connecting with the energies. Let's see what I can do to heal. So we have far greater healing capacities as human beings than we've ever tapped into.
And there's another component of this. Planet Earth is apparently a very unique planet. This is a water planet. There's a coincidence between how much water there is on this planet versus terrestrial land. Coincidentally, this planet is about 80% water. Our bodies are about 80% water. So there's a resonance between why we're here, how we're here on Earth, because our bodies duplicate the actual makeup of the Earth herself. So water is a much greater resource and much greater importance than we've ever understood it was. You have a second part of your question.
Yeah, I was just like kind of like how like Lark must see is like molecules, because water is H2O, right? And so like bone is made up of like according to like science, is like made up of like carbons and like oxygens and like those crystalline bonds that like actually like form, like to actually make like that solid structure.
Mm-hmm.
So like, is the normal understanding of like molecular bonds and how they interact, and even on the like interatomic scale, different for LARCMA than it is for like us?
Well, yes, because our understanding of science is based on what we've been taught about chemistry and physics from our third dimensional perspective, which is based on solid. I can touch this. I can measure this. I can replicate this. Everything is repeatable. That's our standard paradigm for science. What LARCMA is trying to teach us to understand is that we are not static beings. We are in wave form. So if we understand ourselves as being made up primarily of water, we just broaden our perspective a little bit, not to look at the linear concepts of, okay, science says that this is made up of this component, so that's what it is and it's provable. We're being encouraged to say yes and what else, and explore and see what else makes us human. So we move to the understanding that we are water beings to the understanding that we're also partly from the stars. We're star energy. We're divine sparks of light. Both of those concepts bring our greater knowingness inside of ourselves that we are more fluid. We are not stuck. We have more choices than we are aware of.
And then if I use my background and my university training, this may seem unnecessary, but I want to add it just for fun. If you take a bone that you find that has been outside of a body, an animal body or a human body, if it has been allowed to dry for years and years and years, the weight of that bone is so much lighter than a bone that you could extract from a living organism, which from a purely scientific point of view shows that bones are basically water with calcium, carbon, and other things. But the differentiation between a live bone and a desiccated bone is just dramatic. So when I make the statement that even our bones are made out of mostly water, if you take that kind of a scientific approach, a bone that's been let dry is much, much lighter than a living bone.
Good question. Yes.
Researching this kind of stuff over the years, reading a lot of books about ETs and stuff, what I've discovered is that there are negative beings that have come here to kind of extract what we have. And those negative beings are very, very intelligent, and they've set up a system to where all on a physical level, which is at the base of everything, they've set up a system where the chemistry and everything is like completely deviating from the natural pattern. The GMO, all the chemistry, the radiation that's going on in this planet right now.
Well, you're talking about something that really sparks our interest, because the central problem with human beings, as we have been explained by LARCMA, is that we are all full of fear. The beings that you're talking about, the negative beings that have played around on this planet, are the ones who injected fear into our culture. And what did they do? They injected fear through the process of saying, here's a yummy thing that you can make. This will give you comfort. This is a nice treat. And it started with sugar. Mm-hmm. Everyone in this country and Europe and worldwide thinks of sugar as comfort food. If I'm having a bad day, if I want a treat, if I want a sweet taste after my food, I want a cookie, a cake, we are automatically feeding ourselves poison. Every time we ingest sugar, not only science has caught up with this, LARCMA told us this years ago, but science has caught up. The World Health Institute and the National Institutes of Health, World Health Organization, and the National Institutes of Health and National Geographic have all three come out in the last 2 years with quotable things saying sugar is more addictive than heroin. Sugar destroys your DNA. LARCMA was telling us this years ago when they first started talking to us. And this connects into what you're talking about, because the beings who wanted to control humanity figured the best way to do that is make us afraid. It's the same thing as a government that wants to control any group of humans. What do? They make you afraid and then say, we'll take care of you. We'll do everything to keep you safe, because they've made you so terrified, you need something to rely on other than yourself.
But with the sugar, mm-hmm. is a perfect example of that. All kinds of creatures, including gorillas and all kinds of creatures, monkeys, as long as they're consuming sugar as nature creates it, there's not a problem.
But it's not sugarcane based. We're talking about specifically.
Yeah, but even sugarcane in India,
yeah.
they use sugarcane to cure cancer. I have a friend that went to India, had cancer, and they just told her, drink pure sugarcane juice straight from the juice that has all the proteins and everything in complete form, and it cured her cancer.
Well, the only thing that I would say about that is in India, the Ayurvedic system would have you drink your own urine to cure certain conditions. So you can always take in, and what is chemotherapy? It's ingesting some sort of toxin to kill the cancer. There's always a way that you can use a toxic substance
as
a
medicine. But the processing of food is a big
But that's
problem.
Different. Processing it and eating it as a comfort food, keeping us in that state of, okay, I think this makes me feel good, I think this makes me happy, when all it does is sever the connection between those out there of love and light that want to help us. We become disempowered through our fear. Good point. Anybody? Oh, and by the way, now that the health organizations are teaching people that sugar is bad for you, that it destroys your DNA, and Lartman says also destroys your light body, now that the science has caught up with what the Pleiadians have been telling us, it's been redirected into GMOs. So now the addictive substance is corn. Mm-hmm. Ever tried to eat popcorn, one piece? Or chips. So we have to really watch anything that has an addictive component to it, because there always is an underlying meaning of taking away our power and our self-wisdom.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so what time, like what exact time did the everything start happening, like your birth time?
4:31 p.m.
I do some numerology on that. 4 and 3, 7, 1's an 8, that's an 8, that's an abundance, it's an infinity loop, it's connection, the symbol of connection. Anybody else? Yes?
You mentioned the word fear, and that, to me, ties in with war. What is Larkma's thoughts and perspective on the warring conscious of mankind, and how do they feel that they can help us to overcome that, and how can in their minds, their way of thinking, can we help ourselves to get out of the warring consciousness, which is so tied in with people.
I think the first thing that they would say is that we are of a divided consciousness in each of our individual selves. We have conflict, internal conflict within us. And that internal conflict causes us to judge ourselves and judge others. And that's the seed point of war. The minute you start judging yourself or someone else, you're causing a separation. I'm right, you're wrong. This is right, this is wrong. And that separation causes an attachment to what you believe is your perspective of right. I need to defend this because it's right, and that's wrong, so I'm going to attack it. So my feeling, and you're welcome to ask Larkma the question yourself, but my feeling is that they would say, if you want to stop war, you need to learn to love yourselves. Mm-hmm. Accept who you are, dig at your shadows, look at them, and begin to love yourselves. Because when we love ourselves, we have far less judgment for anybody else.
I think that Larkma's concept of war comes down to a simple, I'm going to just add to what Pia said, it comes down to a simple understanding that if anything is different than myself, if whatever that is makes me uncomfortable,
then I'm going to judge or attack that in order for me to stay safe. And I think nations haven't figured out yet that it's perfectly okay to have a different culture or a different religion without harming anyone else, as long as you believe in what you believe in, but you allow everyone else to simultaneously believe in what they believe in. And what Larkma has come to say to us and others in public gatherings like this is, instead of there being a right and a wrong, there's actually a possibility that there are two rights, that someone can be right in their own sense and see that someone else that's different than they are can also be right without any conflict, just allowing the two distinct parts to be equally all right.
In other words, we move from judging into discernment of, oh, this is different. And when we discern instead of judge, then we can actually take a benefit from what's different and say, I wonder how that can harmonize with this, and we can be more in harmony, community.
It's a little bit like traveling to other countries. Each country has a different kind of food that is made because of their particular backgrounds. Content, spicing, flavors. Most countries have a distinctive costume that they're used to. And I think what Larkma's trying to get us to understand is, why not enjoy those differences? Instead of proclaiming that because this is different than mine, either I can't like it or it makes me uncomfortable, what they're hoping we will eventually do in our evolution is to go, oh, that food tastes really good. It's different than mine. It looks different. It tastes different. But I can enjoy it just as much. So,
I think it might be time to introduce the group to Larkma. What do you think?
Sure. Would you like to talk to them directly?
I would ask everyone here to please turn your cell phones off. It's not enough just to silence them. They have to be completely off, because they may, when the energy comes in, they may be activated if you don't, and that's very disruptive.
And there's another part of this too. There are two things that Larkma feels quite uncomfortable with. One of them's very funny. I'll tell you that secondly. But the radiation of cell phones, although they're capable of being able to be around that energy, when the ring happens, it's startling to them because they don't know in advance that it's going to happen. And so it's jangling to them. And in the past, sometimes in these public gatherings, they will simply leave. And sometimes they come back and sometimes they don't. So in respect to them, that's why we ask, please turn your cell phones completely off. The second part that's a little bit more humorous is, Pia and I cannot sneeze when we're connected, when we're sitting and holding hands and synchronizing with Larkma. If we sneeze, it is so startling to them that they also leave. They come back immediately in that case. But they're very sensitive and they're capable of coping with anything. But those are the two things they just don't like. What you will probably observe is, Pia's already doing it. We yawn when we connect with Larkma. Our energies are so different that there has to be some kind of equalization between us.
Kind of like driving up on the high mountain and it makes your ears pop.
And so
similar to that.
We will most likely yawn a number of times before they begin to speak.
Hello, dear ones. We are Larkma We are here because we love you and we wish to help you on your evolutionary journey. We enjoy conversing with you and having our energy blend with yours in one harmonic blend of energy. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be with you on this day. So, you're interested in chakras, are you? As Cullen said, chakras are energetic systems, but we would say more than that. We would call them portals of possibility. When you become aware of the energy at each chakra center, you can use that as a portal for changing your own energy, for traveling, for communicating, or for connecting with one another. Energy is always omnipresent, omnipotent, and you have the opportunity to explore this by understanding more deeply how those energies are affecting you in the chakra system. The chakras spin in a counterclockwise direction, which is different than what most everything in your environment does. Most everything in your environment is counted in moving in clockwise direction, in harmony with the system of time that you have created. You have created a collective idea that things move in a flow of linear time from past to present to future. In the true reality, nothing is linear. Everything spirals and cycles. And so the chakra systems are in alignment with true universal movement. Therefore, as you become more and more aware of each chakra center within yourself, you may align yourself with deeper and deeper truth from the universe, and you may become more able to connect with, move through, communicate with all other beings of love and light. You communicate now through a vast measure of words that you have accumulated, experiences that you have accumulated, and things that you have been taught. That is the basis of your communication. You motivate yourselves movement-wise through automobiles, bicycles, trains, and airplanes. These are two things that your chakra system can help you move beyond. You have the ability to travel, shall we say, with or without your body, as you become more in tune with your chakra system. We don't want to alarm you. We don't mean you must leave your physical body and be as we are without physical bodies. But through choices that you make and awareness of energy at higher and higher levels, you may begin to understand who you really are and how powerful you can be and what magic you can accomplish. The key to all of this is beginning to examine your belief systems, monitor your thoughts, and align them with your heart, rather than allowing them just to run rampant on their own, and looking for ways that you can harmonize differences into a pattern of unity, rather than judging one another. You're also interested in how to stop war. As Pia and Cullen were telling you, all war starts within the individual self. The man called Hitler was deeply at war within himself, feeling that he was insufficient, that he was not good enough, that he needed to make up for some major lack within himself. And he projected that out onto an entire group of people. That's what happens generally in war. Anyone who is making a system of war projects their own inner insecurities and judgments onto another person or another group of people, and in that judgment makes an announcement that I am right and you are wrong. That in itself is untrue, for there is never truly a right and a wrong, although you may perceive things as right or wrong. The perception is only that way because those of you who are conscious are trying to align your choices with a higher vibration that benefits all other beings. and those who are not paying attention to your choices are more attached to making sure that what you believe in is right and everyone else is wrong. When humanity reaches the point where you can say, "Ah, I don't have to be right, I would rather be loving," then war will stop. Then you will not judge yourselves or one another. But this is a work in process, and it is something that you are living through at an energetic moment that is perfect for you to make huge leaps in your evolutionary consciousness. You have the ability right now to take advantage of energies that are pouring into the earth that have not been present for 26,000 years. You know that your planet is an electromagnetic water planet. You have water and electromagnetic fields. You yourselves are electromagnetic beings. You have water in your makeup, and you have solar energy in your makeup. So you have electromagnetic fields also. Therefore, you are deeply affected by electromagnetic changes, such as solar flares and earth changes within the earth. You are also deeply affected by other planetary bodies that make gravitational pulls on your planet. The moon is one primary example, but there are many others. And when those energies align in certain ways that can be tracked through your science of astronomy, those energies feed into your electrical magnetic system, affecting you. We tell you this because we wish you to be aware of the intensity of what you may be experiencing at this time. You may be experiencing heightened emotions, feelings of instability, or feelings that you are not quite at your best physically. Your physical bodies are trying to adapt and change to the incoming energies. Your other bodies, mental and what you call the emotional body, but we call your feeling state, are also responding to the energies. So you may find yourself suddenly weeping and not know why, or you may find yourself angry without any reason. You are simply adjusting to the energies, and this adjustment requires you to examine your thoughts in alignment with what you are feeling. What am I thinking when I feel so angry? Am I blaming myself? Am I blaming someone else? What is attached to this anger? You can be simply experiencing the collective consciousness, or it may be something personal that you need to work through. The same applies to grief. You may be experiencing what Cullen calls oceanic grief, feeling the grief of the masses who suffer on the planet. Or it may be something that is stuck within you, within your own shadow, that you need to learn to love and let go of. And so, dear ones, the way to end war and the way to advance yourself so that you have greater freedom in movement, connection, and communication is through exploring energy that is you and learning how to resonate harmoniously with other energies who are not you. You are all one group of human beings, and yet each of you has individual aspects, individual gifts, and individual talents. It is a bit like drops of water in the ocean. It may be one sea, but each drop of water is different. And it takes all of those drops of water to make the complete ocean that you experience. This is our opening comment to introduce ourselves to you and let you know that we are deeply concerned for your evolutionary process, and we are deeply interested in what you need to know and what you wish to know in order to help you make changes to live more in harmony and peace with abundance in your lives. Please ask whatever questions you are inspired to ask.
Well, I've been on some hikes in the country around here, and I've come across what I can only say are warble zones. I have in my head, it seems like a reverberation chamber. And there are zones that you can walk in and out of, apparently. I'm wondering, can you help me identify what's going on?
Yes. You're living in a corridor that has energetic portals where many beings of other dimensions travel in and out. As you increase your own sensitivity and your own awareness, you feel the slippage from dimension to dimension when you go through specific places such as these. Others who are not so sensitive or energetically aware, they walk right behind you and never experience the same thing that you experience. The more you open to your own energetic awareness, the more you open your heart and desire to connect with universal truth, the more you make choices for highest good of all, the more you have opportunities to experience moving in other dimensions and having things unusual occur. You are describing it quite well as a reverberation within your head, but someone else might explain it as a nervous feeling in their stomach or a feeling of vertigo, as if they have suddenly become dizzy or not sure they can stand up straight. Each human who is sensitive experiences these dimensional places in a different way. Another way to explain it is to say that you are, in these particular spaces, aware of the slippage of time, that time does not truly exist, and therefore you can fall into what you perceive as past or future the moment you become aware that there is a dimensional change happening where you are. Does this help explain it?
Yes. So in for dimensional travel, it is possible to take your body with you?
At this point, it is most appropriate to take your body with you. Some may do dimensional traveling in their dreams or in visionary states or in meditation. Dimensional travel is also possible with that aspect of who you are. You have the choice as a species at this time to end your process of karma and to make conscious choices that allow you the freedom to move backwards and forward into dimensions in ways that you have not yet perceived that you are capable of. This is the ability to free yourself and to step more fully into who you truly are. If you make continued conscious choices, you elevate your physical body, your mental body, and your feeling state in such a way that your vibration becomes aligned with your light body. At that particular alignment, you may enter into what we call a rainbow body state. And in that state, you may take your physical body with you when you dimensionally travel. In the state you're in currently, most of you take your physical body through dimensional shifts from brief momentary experiences, but they do not last long, for your physical bodies will not sustain the shock and change of energy yet. Does this help?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Most interesting awareness.
Can you explain the linear time thing? I've never been able to wrap my head around the fact that linear time does not really exist. But you mentioned something earlier about it being like a spiral.
That's a very good question. We would start with a joke. You can't wrap your head around linear time, for it's straight as an arrow. The way to understand what we are explaining is not through thinking about it. It is through your actual experience. Your heart knows this wisdom. Your heart knows that energy cycles. Your brain knows that everything in life moves in cycles. You have cycles of seasons. You have cycles of circadian rhythms in the human body. You have menstrual cycles that produce children. You have cycles in mood. You have all kinds of cycles. You even have cycles in your stock market. So you are quite aware that life cycles. Now you need to increase that awareness that it is not just a circle going round and round, but it is actually a spiral of energy. In other words, you revisit the same place as you consciously make choices in different places on a spiral, spiraling around again and again, but at each level you move up to a different vibratory rate. And so, in doing that, you move beyond the limitations of your current misunderstanding that there is past, present, and future. And instead, you begin to see it as different dimensions, all occurring at the same time. We have a concept that we have shared with humanity for a number of years to help you explore this more, and that is that you are experiencing parallel lives, not past lives. Things that you have a glimpse of that you think come from a past life are actually your awareness of a different dimension of yourself. In order to make meaning of all of these experiences, however, you have collectively agreed to group them into history in a way that says this happened before. This can be documented. But what you do not understand is that energetic things flow in both directions. So if you're looking at the arrow of linear time, from our perspective, the future can actually affect and change the past. This is a way to help you understand quantum physics and non-linear understandings. Non-linear means move in the cycle and understand vibrationally from your heart, this feels different, and then discover what you think about what you are feeling. Does this help you at all?
Yes.
If you let it resonate within you and explore it on your own, you will begin to have glimpses and wisdom that arise from your own inner awareness. As long as you try to figure it out in your head, you will not be able to wrap your head around it. What else?
Thank you.
Yes?
How do strong force, weak force, gravity, and then electromagnetism, like the four natural forces, how do they like all interact in like a unification theory?
Very interesting question. Unification theory is a very small viewpoint of the actual reality. Your science has separated all of the forces that work together in harmony into individual, separate forces with given different names. Strong force, weak force, all of these things are different waves of energy. And yet your science's current understanding defines them according to certain characteristics that you can perceive from your limited availability of knowledge. In all actuality, each of these four primary forces that you are considering are actually wave motions of different energies that combine together in unity according to, and here's the key point, according to the thoughts you think. Not much science says about thoughts. Science wants to demonstrate what they can replicate, what they can prove through their theorems and their understanding of knowledge base. But what is actually happening is these forces which you are describing are energetic waves that intermingle with each other to produce certain effects on your planet and in the universe, and they are directed by thought energy. The atom bomb is not the most powerful energy in the universe. Your thoughts are more powerful than the atom bomb. You don't understand this individually or as a species, for you get caught up in thoughts of random nature, or you focus your thoughts on certain belief systems or certain systems of learning. The true way to understand the power of your thoughts is beginning to investigate what you feel when you are thinking. We define your feeling state as your natural feelings, which you came to Earth with, which are love, joy, trust, compassion, peace, harmony. These are your natural feeling states. We define your emotional states as all of those feelings that cause you discomfort. And the reason they cause you discomfort is to help you grow, to demonstrate for you and show you how you yourself are out of harmony and how you need to rebalance what you are thinking in order to stop the discomfort. This is the very elementary basis of true physics, understanding the power of thought and how the thought energy controls the waves of all other scientific energies. Your true foundation is a single, solitary thought based in love. Love is the highest force in the universe. And yet, you have moved away from love into its opposite, fear, and then tried through the process of separation to analyze just exactly what you need to discover in order to move beyond fear of all sorts, fear of separation, the very thing you have caused through this thinking, fear of hunger, fear of death, fear of war. These fears come from, as we have already shared with you through P.M. Cullen, other energies who wish to control you and keep you in a point of separation. But you have fed this point of separation through your own collective and individual thoughts. When you monitor your thoughts and begin to align them with the wisdom that lives in your heart, you get a very different picture of reality, and you begin to see the universe and the foundational energies that you are addressing in a different way. And then your quantum physics and your string theory and all of the other advanced notions of what creates your reality come into a harmonic understanding that makes sense, probably for the first time in human history. Does this help you?
Yeah, definitely. So is it possible that if a single individual has enough thought energy, they can influence part of the electromagnetic energy or gravitational energy or strong force or weak force?
Yes. Very, very good. And let's break that down a bit more. Before you say if an individual has enough energy on their own to influence this, you need to know that there is a difference between influencing through force because of what you know and influencing through power from what is in your heart as wisdom. There is a very big difference between knowledge and wisdom. Therefore, someone who understands intellectually this concept does not have the power to be able to control or affect these forces of the universe. But someone who has the power of wisdom in their heart can very definitely, through this wisdom, align their energy with universal truth and participate in co-creating reality. There is something you need to understand about vibrational signatures and knowledge and wisdom and your emotional state. If you are focused on what we call emotions and you are not working to understand how they are acting as signposts to guide you into higher levels of thinking, then you are vibrating at lower levels. If you are noticing your emotions, noticing your thoughts, and then guiding them from your heart to higher vibrational thoughts, then you gain more power. For instance, you have far more power if you are acting from a place of compassion than you do if you are reacting to circumstances from fear, jealousy, sorrow, or anger. These other reactions are at a frequency that is much lower on the vibratory scale. And while collectively they make a difference in your physical world and in your individual experience, they will not affect the four forces of the universe. However, when you raise your vibration to places of compassion, optimism, trust, joy, and love, when your vibration is operating at this frequency and you're aligning your thoughts with these, then you have the power to join together with the flow of the universe, and you can indeed change the very nature of reality through the power that you have attained. Each of you is able to do this. It is more powerful when you join together, of course. But the main thing you need to learn to do in order to do this is to move beyond your fears. And that includes looking at your own shadows, learning not to judge yourself or anyone else, learning to become compassionate, and then learning to be grateful. For when you practice gratitude, you automatically raise your vibration away from the states that are affecting others collectively into the selective few who are actually helping to elevate this planet. When we say the selective few, we mean those of you who select yourselves through your own conscious choices. When you choose to live from a place of higher vibration on a consistent basis, you're making a difference not only on Earth, but in the universe. Thank you for your question.
Why are you helping humans? What can vastly inferior beings like ourselves offer to you?
Ah, two questions within that one. We are helping you because we love you. It is simple as that. We have been through our own evolutionary process, and we understand deeply the pain the process involves. We understand that you are struggling under a veil of separation rather than seeing the beautiful aspects of duality that offer you choices that help you blend harmoniously with the different gifts and talents that you have. We can see this quite easily from our perspective, and we are compassionate in our feelings, for we too have been through an evolutionary process to be where we are now. Second part of your question involves a belief system which we do not agree with. We do not believe that you are inferior beings. We feel you are simply asleep. When you wake up to understanding how much power you have, when you align your thoughts consistently with love, joy, trust, and compassion, that power is going to change not only this earth, but it will ripple out into the universe, and we will become one. Okay?
Yes.
Conversely, when you keep your thoughts focused on petty things, little concerns, uncomfortable emotions, and you don't work to make the necessary changes, not only do your physical bodies move into a sense of contraction so that you become sicker and sicker, but you also spread that sickness person to person, water to water, and throughout the earth and outward into the universe. So we are also deeply invested in showing you who you are and helping you to remember so that you will not infect the universe with such separation, pain, and suffering. We want you not to be ill, and we don't want those ill effects in the world of love. We hope these answers make your hearts happy.
In ancient Sanskrit, there is an extreme significance to the teaching of the letters OM, or the alternate spelling AUM. And also, I find it highly interesting that the OM is the syllable in the word atomic structure, ATOM. And you've mentioned harmonics a few times in the context of your talk to us today, and I was wondering if you could please offer some thoughts towards that.
Yes, we will. The words that you choose are based upon joining together certain tones in a certain way. Each culture organizes its brains, its thinking, its mental thoughts for that culture according to the tones that you incorporate into your language. Each individual works within his own vibratory consciousness level by the tones and words that you choose. So if you choose a phrase meaning, I wish to accomplish something really well and maybe accomplish two things at once, that's one way of vibratorily expressing a concept. But if instead you use violent words put together, saying, I wish to kill two birds with one stone, that weakens your ability to accomplish what you need. So it's important to understand not only the individual letters, but how you put them together and the tones that you use. Understand that your languages choose combinations of letters and vowel tones and syllables to express things that your cultures wish to express. There are many things that are coming up in terminology according to your internet that have very little consciousness attached to them. And yet if you visit an ancient indigenous culture, and listen to their language, you will find more musical tones that are heart-based because they are not separated by technology that does not take into conscious account heart, connectiveness, and higher good of all. The L sound that you ask about, like larkma, that is a sound of musical connection. L is a sound that you can play with. M, Pia has already explained to you. O is a sound that helps you expand vertically so that you can reach down into the core of the earth, up into the stars through sounding this tone. O, O. Ah is a sound of connecting the heart. T, t, like t, t. Is a sound for stopping. Stopping an action to redirect oneself. So you have a variety of things you can put together. If you look at the word atom, you would have ah, heart. We can investigate things at an atomic size and we can expand upon them if we wish in our perceptions. T, t, t. We can stop the belief systems that are not working in our understanding paradigm and open new perspectives to see what we can understand. Oh, oh, we can expand our wisdom by asking to connect with other energies that have a broader perspective. We can enjoy this connection. And so we can see that there's a wave of energy, of atoms connecting universe to universe. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, thank you very much for your commentary.
You can play with each word and see how they have been put together. Not all will unfold as easily as that one. Some are simply created out of habit or non-thought at all, just thrown together without any consideration of energetic consequences. You will find these words are actually somewhat uncomfortable when you express them. You can learn to feel this, and you can learn to choose other words that are more harmonious with your own being. What else?
Can you comment on the significance of eclipses that we experience here on Earth, specifically the lunar eclipse that we had this morning that was visible here?
How many of you have felt uncomfortable during this eclipse? Have you felt unusual waves of emotion? Perhaps anger, grief, puzzlement, frustration, sadness? Has that been your experience on this one?
Yes. No.
So you have a mix of experience. Have you experienced openness, expansiveness, hope?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have a mix on experience. What we would tell you is that the eclipses are energetics of forcing your attention on duality, making you look at the dualistic perspectives of your experience. So when an eclipse comes through, whether it is solar or lunar, the light is eclipsed by the dark momentarily, and you have the opportunity to experience duality from your own perspective, whatever that may be. If you are struggling with something in your life, if you feel something is unfair or you are ill or you are frustrated, if something like this is going on during an eclipse, those feelings will be magnified so that you will feel them in order to give you an opportunity to transcend them, move beyond, and choose a different pattern of thoughts. If you are experiencing expansiveness, joy, optimism, and hope, you're being able to experience, ah, this is how duality is supposed to be used. Look at the dark and the light merging together. Look how the light always can light up the dark. Look how this happens. Dark moves across the light, and then light comes out again. It always happens in this pattern. Therefore, whatever shadow is moving through me, I have the opportunity to shine light into it and be able to expand my own awareness. So your individual experiences of eclipses will vary according to where your consciousness is at the moment that you are experiencing it. But that is not all. Eclipses also have to do with the electromagnetic alignment of the Earth's core. And so, therefore, some of what you feel and experience might have to do with aligning your own feelings to what is going on with the electrical magnetic field of the Earth. Therefore, if you sense Earth shifts or Earth movement, you may become uncomfortable in yourself, and you may feel you can't sleep. You're disrupted in your regular patterns. Your bowels may not act according to normal procedures. Everything may become more of a headache for you. So in this case, you may be experiencing energetic movement of the Earth as she moves into a different electrical magnetic formation. Eclipses are primal times of bringing forth Earth shifts in Earth movement, and you, being part of the Earth, are more likely to experience that as well as you become more and more sensitive. So we have given you two answers. One, about your own feeling state and how you perceive what is occurring in this shift. And two, how you're aligning with the energies that are being affected on Earth from the changes of gravitational pull from these electrical magnetic exchanges. Does this help?
Yes, very interesting. Thank you.
I have a question. I have pinched nerves in my back. I've been through the medical system. They can't see what's wrong. I'm trying to accomplish a project that I need to have my back working properly. My feet are very numb, so on and so forth. But there's just no visible way that I can see to do it. I've changed my diet. I'm doing everything I can, but I think it's scar tissue that's crushing the nerves deep in my back, and it's not really operable. So I sometimes think, well, maybe we'll have some kind of contact with beings that can help fix that.
You have contact with beings who can help, but we can only help you at a certain amount. Human choice, we are not allowed to interfere with. The cosmic law is that if you're going to empower yourselves, we cannot do it for you, but we can provide energetic support. And there are answers to your condition. There are answers to every condition of imbalance. Although we tell you, there are many highly spiritual people who are evolving quite quickly, who are experiencing distress in their physical bodies. That is part of the changes that you are aligned with in the changes of Earth. What we encourage you to do is not think of this as some pathology, but think of it as developmental service. You are helping the Earth in the ascension process, which is a larger project than an individual project you may be achieving. That doesn't mean that we wish you to suffer by any means, or that we will not lend our energetic assistance to alleviate whatever suffering we can. But humans are being encouraged to learn what you knew once you lived in Lemuria, which is another parallel dimension of your current existence. That is, that you have the power to heal yourself. And that is, your reactions to what is going on in the universe or your environment are your responsibility. So if you choose to engage in some thought process of, this is not fair, I'm being a victim, nobody can help me, then you are feeding the negative energies and the thought belief system of nobody can help me. And so therefore what is created is that nobody can help you. You absolutely must learn as a species to understand the power of your thoughts. You need to think on a regular basis. Acknowledge the truth. Yes, I am suffering, and I have not yet been helped. And then say, I know there is help for me, and I will keep open to whatever help can come, and I will keep looking for it and doing what I can myself. When you change your thoughts to align with that, you open up the possibilities for what you need in your own healing to come towards you. We cannot address specifics of your situation, dear one, for this is a group gathering and we do not do individual sessions in group gatherings. But we trust that what we are sharing with you will help you somewhat in your situation. and we will provide whatever energetic support we can to help you find ways to realign with sources that will help you to find the healing that you seek.
That's the same conclusion I've come to, is that I just need to go with the flow, basically.
Sometimes there is an element of surrender involved, but not a surrender as in apathy, as in victimhood, of I've tried everything I can, nothing is working, and there is no help for me. Not that type of surrender, but a surrender instead to, I am a water being, I am a spiritual being, and I will flow with this because I know I am going to find the answer. It's going to come to me. If you do not maintain that thought on a moment-to-moment basis, you are shutting yourself off from any help that the universe can provide to you by your own choice. You, dear ones, choose your thoughts. And it's time you wake up to realize those thoughts do help to create your reality.
And there's a purpose for everything, too.
There is indeed a purpose for everything. And there is a hard way to get there and an easy way to get there. And you get to choose the path. If it seems hard to you, change your attitude. When your attitude changes, the path becomes easier. But it must be consistent. You cannot have 4 or 5 good days and then 4 or 5 bad ones. You must, moment to moment, return to that place of higher vibrational thinking. Every time you reach a place of shadow, pain, suffering, feeling that it's unfair, recognize it, acknowledge it, and then transcend it. That's the source of your power. We've given you much to integrate today. Do you have any other questions that you simply wish to know while we are here in this moment?
Is there a formula or a way to wake up to, if you're a time traveler or a multi-dimensional being, to wake up to know that you were there when you returned here?
Very interesting question. A formula? No, not per se. An awareness that you develop so that you can pinpoint where you wish to go and where you wish to return to in the portals of your perceived time. There's an exercise that we give you that may help you with your understanding of dimensional possibilities, and that is to imagine yourself standing in a circle right in the middle. Look around you, and you will see 12 doors. If you walk through any of those other doors, you may find another dimensional aspect of who you are. You may perceive it as a past life, or you may perceive it as a future part of yourself, or you may perceive it as something that is just totally different from who you are now, with no orientation towards time. But each of those 12 doors connects to a strand of your DNA, and each of those doors, when you open them, becomes enlivened, and you integrate more of who you are. Your science says there is only 2 strands of DNA in the human system, but that is not accurate. That is all that they have been able to perceive with the limited scientific apparatus that you have. You actually have 12 strands of DNA, and they are woven together like a cosmic soup. And as you explore other dimensions of who you are and begin to integrate them into yourself, then you are able to navigate those doors in a way that you can do what you would call time travel, and we would call dimensional travel. And yet, as you become more capable of dimensional travel, you also will have less desire to do so. For what you will want to do is to bring all dimensions into the present moment in order to experience the fullness of yourself. We think we've given you enough information to integrate on this particular gathering, but we invite you to other gatherings. We're going to be teaching humanity how to communicate as we do, with heart tones and with love, rather than with words and thoughts. And we will be starting a light community through those who choose to join with us in our gathering in Santa Fe in a few weeks. P.N. Cullen can tell you about this. And you can check with your hearts and see if it resonates with where you are and what you choose on your evolutionary journey. But whatever you choose, we support you. And we want you to understand and explore the very power of your choices. With that said, one more thing we wish you to know. We don't ask you to believe us. We don't even want you to believe us. We want you to learn to trust the wisdom in your own hearts. And if what we have said today resonates with the wisdom that lives within you, accept it, integrate it, and take it in to part of who you are. And if not, we bless you anyway with all of our love, and we support you as you discover your own pathway towards truth. Truth comes from many different sources, but it is always the truth. We love you. Good always.